want to take this opportunity to welcome everyone to this week's virtual drasha. I'd like to begin by thanking our sponsors. To thank Ed and Faith Wolf and family for dedicating the drasha in memory of beloved father, grandfather, and great-grandfather Cyrus Wolf, Shalom Ben Zvi Hirsch. To thank our drasha sponsors, Jerry and Abby Applebaum, in memory of their aunt, Lillian Dubin, Brindel Leah Bas Aaron, Sandy Hoffman, in memory of her beloved husband, Ronald Hoffman, Ruvain Ben Emanuel, and her dear mother, Mindel Rodman, Braina Mina Bas Baruch. And Howie and Rachel Wiesenfeld, in honor of Maishi Abramson's 40th birthday. May you continue to learn and grow for many years in good health. We thank all of our sponsors, all of our dedicated mishpachos for their generosity. We have the incredible privilege this week to read the double parshios of Nitzavim and Vayelech. And it's a privilege, every Shabbos is a privilege, every parsha is a privilege. Double parsha is even more incredible, and of course, this is also the last Shabbos of the year. The last Shabbos, next Shabbos already is Rosh Hashanah, the last Shabbos of Tavshin Pei 5780. And the last Shabbos is so profound because, as the Svarim, as Hasidic literature writes, one has the ability to go ahead and redeem an entire year through one day. One could redeem an entire year of Shabbosos that maybe were not maximized to their full extent of their meaning, that maybe were not fully utilized. If one goes in and uses the last Shabbos of the year in the right way, one is able to uplift all of the other Shabbosos along with it. And so when we read the parasha, when we look for messages in this week, we're looking not just for an understanding in the parasha, but we're looking for a way to uplift our Shabbos, to uplift this last Shabbos, to uplift this last week of the year. And in doing so, lift up the last Shabbos, lift up all the previous Shabbosos. And if we could lift up the week to come, then Emir Tashem, we could redeem all of the years of this, all of the days of this past year as well. So I want to draw your attention to the opening pasuk of Parashas Vayelech. The Torah says, this is in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Vayelech Moshe Vaydabers Hadvorim Ha'ila Kol Yisrael. Moshe went, and he spoke the following words to the Jewish people. And what did he say? Vayomer Aleim, he said to them, Ben Me'av Esim Shana Nochi, I am 120 years old today. Lo uchal od latzeis velovo. I can no longer really come and go. Vashem amar eilai lo sa'avares hayardin hazeh. And Hashem said to me, I'm not going to cross the Jordan. And the commentaries all ask the same question. The pasuk says, Vayelech Moshe. Moshe went. There's only one problem. The Torah Kedosha does not tell us where did Moshe go to. If you're going to say Vayelech, right? Lech Lecha, Avram goes from here, he goes to there. Yitz, Yaakov Avinu leaves. Canaan, he goes to Aram Naharaim. So whenever we have a lashon of halicha, a lashon of walking, of going, we're told the point of origin, we're told the destination. Here it just says Vayelech Moshe, Moshe went, but it doesn't tell us where he's going. And the Eben Ezra says something amazing. The Eben Ezra writes, Halach al kol shevet v'shevet lahudiyah shumeis, where did he go? He went to every single tribe. He went to every single tribe. In reality, Ibn Ezra says he went to every single family. And he conveyed to them the following message. Today is my last day on this earth. I am going to die. I'm saying goodbye to you. But don't be afraid. I know you might think with my departure, Moshe Rabbeinu's departure, maybe Klal Yisrael is vulnerable. Maybe things are going to happen. Maybe things are going to fall apart. No. At the end of the day, I've always been only the messenger of God. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is never going to leave your side. Furthermore, Yoshua, my trusted disciple, is now going to take the reins of leadership, and he is going to shepherd you into this next chapter of your national existence. Says the Eben Ezra something amazing. Vayelech Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu went to every single Shevet, every single family, to calm them, to assure them, to still their fears. Don't be afraid. I'm leaving. I've come to say goodbye. I've come to say I love you, and I've come to say goodbye. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The Ribbono Shel Olam is with you. Yoshua is with you. And my memory, my inspiration, my teachings will always be with you as well. But the great tzaddik, Reb Tzaddik HaKohen of Lublin, asks a very simple question. He said, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know it was his last day? Right? Again, so we see from the parasha Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lo ucha olo tzeis v'lava, I can no longer go in and go out. Today is my last day. He goes to the Shvatim, he comforts them. How did he know? How did he know? We never find the communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu right here that says, Moshe, God says to Moshe, Moshe, this is your last day. So how did Moshe Rabbeinu know that this was his last day on the earth? How did he know that he had to say his goodbyes today? And the Tzaddik says something absolutely amazing. The Tzaddik writes, and I want to quote to you, he says, because Moshe Rabbeinu, Alav Shalom, Hayutamid b'ma'ala mimadrega l'madrega. So he says something amazing. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu lived his life always going from madrega to madrega, from level to level. But you know what Reb Tzadik conveys to us is as follows. This Moshe Rabbeinu went from madrega to madrega, from level to level. That Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is going to sound a little bit strange, was no different than the rest of us. How can you say that's crazy? Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu was different than the rest of us. Of course, he spoke to God panim upon him, face to face, like none of us could ever imagine. He spent 40 days without bread, without water, more angelic than man. How can you say he's like the rest of us? He's like the rest of us because he experienced the dynamic of the human condition. The dynamic of the human condition is that life is a series of peaks and valleys. There are moments of success and there are moments of failure. There are moments when I move forward and there are moments when I take 15 steps back. There are moments of accomplishment and then there are moments when I fall down. There are moments when just I can't do anything. There are moments that I could surge forward and the world is mine and accomplishment is mine. And there are moments that I'm paralyzed to the point of inactivity. Moshe Rabbeinu, Zichrono Livracha, Alav Shalom, Tzadik Yisod Olam, had that same dynamic. He was always Ola, B'ma'ala, B'madrega, L'madrega. And he kept going up, down, up, down. In fact, Reb Tzadik points out, do you ever wonder to yourself, the Ribbono Shel Olam spends so much time, the Torah spends so much time speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu's sin. Right? This sin, everyone knows the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu. He hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And how many averas did Moshe Rabbeinu commit over the course of his lifetime? Right? He hit the rock. One avera. Okay, maybe Rashi understands in Shmos that he maligned, he spoke negatively about Klal Yisrael, maybe a little bit of Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael, but even that's not explicit. That's learned that from Rashi and a little bit of the Drash. Only explicit avera is that he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. You ever wonder to yourself, why does the Torah spend so much time focusing on that mistake? Leave the man alone. He was the most selfless, dedicated leader of Klal Yisrael. He gave up everything. He gave up his marriage. He gave up his kids. He gave up all the trappings of a normal life. So the man made one mistake. You can't let it go. You have to talk about it not once, not twice, three times, possibly even fourth. Why one mistake? So the Tzaddik explains, do you understand why the Torah Kedoshah is teaching us about Moshe Rabbeinu's mistake? It's not to go ahead and rub it in his face. It's not to say, look at Moshe. It's to teach us that Moshe Rabbeinu is a human being. Because without that mistake, Moshe Rabbeinu is not a role model. Without that mistake, I can't relate to Moshe Rabbeinu. A human being who never made a mistake in his life, I have no shaykhus to such a person like that. So the Torah tells us about Moshe Rabbeinu's mistake, and the Torah tells us how severe Moshe Rabbeinu's mistake was, and the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu suffered repercussions and ramifications for his mistake. Why? To teach us that everyone makes mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. You know, the Ramban comments in Bereishis something amazing. The Ramban says that Sarai Imenu invited Avram to take Hagar as a wife. Okay, and then it didn't work out well. The Torah, in fact, discusses that Sarah mistreated Hagar, kicked Hagar out of the home. Again, not once, but twice, right? First, before Hagar was pregnant, then after Hagar gave birth to Ishmael, then she expelled Hagar. So the Ramban says something amazing. The Ramban says, because of Sarai Imenu's mistreatment of Hagar, there's animosity between the children of Ishmael, the children of Hagar, and the children of Sarai and Avram to this very day. The animosity that exists between the offspring of Ishmael, Islam, and the children of Avram and Sarah, the Jews, is because of that animosity between Sarah, because of the mistreatment of Sarah and Hagar. Why does Torah have to say that? Why does the Rabban have to say that? Leave it alone. Sarai Imenu was a tzaddikes. Because when we are told about the shortcomings and mistakes of great people, it's not to diminish them. It's not to make them less. It's not to relegate them to a status of lesser importance, just the opposite. What it does is it says, you know what, even a Sarai Imenu makes a mistake, but she rebounded. She came back. She dusted herself off. She got back up. Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. But what did he do? You know, what does Moshe Rabbeinu do right after he hits the rock? What's the immediate next section in the Torah? The immediate next section is he leads the Jewish army out to war against Sichon. He doesn't just cuddle up in a ball in the corner and cry, I'm not going to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the damage is done. I can't reverse that. Even though he lobbies and lobbies and lobbies, he moves forward. The Torah tells us about the greatness, about the mistakes of Moshe Rabbeinu, not to diminish his prestige, but just the opposite, to amplify it. Moshe Rabbeinu was a man who went mimadrega limadrega, from level to level, a growth-oriented person, but a growth-oriented person who at times also suffered setbacks, also suffered pitfalls, also suffered failures, but yet he was able to rebound. He was able to come back. But says Rab Tzadik something amazing. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, he says, but yet in this pasuk, what does he say? He says, I'm 120 years old today. Lo uchal old latseis velavo. I can no longer go out and come back in. And Rab Tzadik understands something so profound in these words. Rab Tzadik writes, I want to read to you, he says, Lo ucha od latseis velavo. This is in Pri Tzadik. He says, Hainu, dechol shelo yuchal od latseis linpol mimadregaso, al yidei zeh, lo yuchal od lavo lemadrega lemaila himenu gamkein. Listen to the words of Rab Tzadik. Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is a bit esoteric, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, says, you know, I feel like I'm on a level of holiness now that I can't fail. Too big, Moshe Rabbeinu was too big to fail. I feel like I can't, whatever this means, that somehow he felt that his ruchnius, his spirituality, was locked in to the point that spiritual regression was impossible. It's just not going to happen. Now, maybe this is due to the dynamic that when a person, as a person gets closer to death, the soul becomes stronger. As the body becomes weaker, the soul becomes stronger. The Maharal says life is filled with this struggle between body and soul. One is always trying to assert superiority and dominance over the other. And the struggle goes on from the moment that we're born. But interestingly enough, as we get old and we become more ill and more frail, the body is diminished. The influence of the soul is more pronounced. So whatever's happening over here, the message that Moshe Rabbeinu gives to Klal Yisrael is, Lo uchal od latseis. I can no longer go out, which means for whatever the reason Moshe Rabbeinu said, the ability to sin, maybe because Moshe Rabbeinu was already in that transition period, leaving this world, going to the next world, the ability to sin is no longer with me. The ability to make mistakes, latseis means to go out from the mechitzas, to go out from the partitions, to go out from within the framework of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't sin. Who can imagine things like, I can't sin. It's the last day of my life. I think I'm closer to Olam Haba than I am to Olam Hazeh. I can't sin. Well, if I can't sin, lo ucha od latseis, then also velavo. I can't grow. If there's no possibility for sin, there's no possibility for growth. If there's no possibility to go out, to leave, then there's no real possibility to come back in a more dramatic fashion. He says, Shalo yucha od latseis linpo mimadregaso. I no longer have the ability to fall from my level. I no longer have the ability to go ahead and come off my spiritual pedestal. And therefore, as a result, al yidei zeh, lo yuchal od lavo limadrega lemay lehimenu gamkein. And if I don't have the ability to fail, if I don't have the ability to fall, then I don't have the ability to grow either. And the tzaddik goes on and he says something so beautiful. He says, Kimo she'nemar, he quotes the pasuk from Mishlei. He says, Kisheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. The pasuk in Mishlei, Shlomo HaMelech says, for the righteous man falls down 7 times and gets back up. He quotes over here, Birida shutzorech aliyah. Vizeu, kisheva yipol tzaddik ayidei zeh vikam. Ultimately, again, why does the tzaddik get back up? The tzaddik gets back up only because he falls down. The failure is the prerequisite to success. The sin is the prerequisite to tshuva. The falling on my face is the prerequisite to getting back up and starting to walk and run again. Without the nefila, without the falling down, there is no kima, there is no getting up. He says, "Aval koshlo yuchal latzeis od lo yuchal lavo gam kein v'zema jega hachrona." So says Rab Tzadik. Do you hear what's happening over here? Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, "For whatever the reason, I can't sin. For whatever the reason, I can't fail. For whatever the reason, I cannot abdicate my elevated spiritual standing." Well, if I'm locked into this heightened level of spirituality, if there's no ability to fall, there's no ability to fail, there's no ability to sin, there's also no opportunity for growth. And if there's no more opportunity for growth, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I recognize that this is my last day on this earth. He didn't need God to tell him. Once he understood in his soul that he can't fail, he can't fall, he can't leave. Therefore, he can't accomplish, he can't grow, he can't come back in. Once I can't grow, I know my life is over. And I think in this profound statement by Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us, Torah Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us two dramatic life lessons. Lesson number one is that life equals growth. Life equals growth. A life without growth is the equivalent of death. A life without growth may be a physiological life, may be a biological life. My pulse may still be there. My brain activity may still be there. But a life without growth, says Moshe Rabbeinu, is effectively already being in Olam Haba. Because when the Neshama, when a person leaves this world, they go to Olam Haba, there's no growth. You get to go ahead and bask in whatever spiritual accomplishments you have accrued over the course of your 120 years. But there's no growth. There's no one day in Olam Haba you wake up and you decide, you know what? Today I'm going to make it a great day in Olam Haba. You got what you got. Whatever you did in this world, that's what you have for all eternity. Where there is life, there is growth. And where there is no growth, that is no longer life. But a tzaddik also teaches us another incredible yisod. You see, sometimes when we make mistakes, we look at the fact that our mistakes preclude our achievement of greatness. I would be great if only I didn't make these mistakes. I could be so wonderful, so pious, so spiritually luminescent if I didn't experience this failure, I didn't fall over here, I didn't hit this dead end or make this bad decision. And the tzaddik teaches us it's exactly the opposite. Sin creates the greatest opportunity. When I mess up, not encouraging it, but when I mess up and I make a mistake and I fail and I fall and I'm down, I left the reservation, I left HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I left the framework of goodness and holiness and spirituality, now there's a golden opportunity. And that's the golden opportunity to remake myself. That's the golden opportunity to come back and to come back even stronger. Because what Reb Tzaddik says is that when we sin, we learn a lot about ourselves. When we make mistakes, it's when we understand our weaknesses. And when we understand our weaknesses, I understand my insecurities. Because a lot of times, we have weaknesses because we're insecure about things. A lot of times we sin in order to mask or in order to medicate things that are broken, deficient, or ill inside of me. And so when I make those dramatic life mistakes, and the more dramatic the mistake, the greater the insight you have into yourself. When I make those mistakes, there is a golden opportunity to learn about myself. And as I learn about myself, I have the ability to remake myself, to recreate my identity, to rebuild, lovo, to come back in, become, to get back up. And when I come back in, and when I get back up, I could come back even stronger, armed with the knowledge of what makes me tick, of what makes me fail, of what makes me succeed, and what makes me fall down. Armed with the knowledge of my insecurities and deficiencies. And if I'm willing to face them, and I'm willing to be honest about them, there is no telling what I could accomplish. We often look at sin as the end of the road. When I sin, I hit a dead end. That's it, I hit a dead end. There's nowhere else to go. And Reb Tzaddik tells us just the opposite. When you sin, that's the beginning. That's not the end of the journey. Now you're right about to start the journey. Now you got I got a brutal insight. I got a brutal inside look as to what I am, who I am, and where I've gone wrong. Now comes the journey of rebuilding. Now comes the journey of getting back up. Now comes the journey of going back in. Dear friends, as we approach the Yamim Noraim and we get ready for a beautiful season of introspection and a beautiful season of prayer and thought, tefillah and shira and his odorous and awakening, it's an opportunity for us to introspect and to look at the mistakes we've made and where we've gone wrong in life. And so many times we're scared to do it, because I'm scared to face my demons and I'm scared to face what's broken, because I don't like to be reminded of it. It's not always pretty and it's not always easy to look at. But really deep down, what I'm really scared of is that if I acknowledge my sins and I acknowledge my deficiencies and I acknowledge what's broken, I'm going to have a sense of yeyush. I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to give up on myself because look how broken I am. Look how soiled and tarnished my identity is. What could I possibly do with myself? And comes along Moshe Rabbeinu. What does Moshe Rabbeinu lament? Isn't this incredible? Moshe Rabbeinu laments, this is going to sound crazy, says, I lament the fact that I can't sin. I can't sin. And I can't believe I can't sin. Moshe, what are you, crazy? You can't sin? So what? That's great. No! Because if I can't sin, then also lavo, then I can't come back in either. If I can't sin, I can't rebuild. If I can't sin, I can't come back in. If I can't sin, I can't make myself any greater. So as we find the courage to introspect, and as we find the courage to do tshuva, let us not become downtrodden or crestfallen over the mistakes that we have made. Let us find the koach to do true introspection, true cheshbon ha-nefesh, truly look into ourselves, identify all that which is broken, but not then let out a krechts oy vavoy, but to say, okay, now I know how I left, now I know how I fell, now it's time lavo, now I know what I have to do, I know the work I have ahead of me, I know the journey I have to take, and I'm ready to do it. Not only am I ready to do it, I'm excited to do it. Because now I'm going to have the golden opportunity to not only reconstruct myself, I'm not interested in reconstructing myself, I would like to construct a better version of myself. And now that I fell, and now that I fell, and now that I left, now I truly have all the information I need to construct something great. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that his life had come to an end when he could no longer sin and then repair. We know that our life is just the beginning. Because I know I can sin. Baruch Hashem, I could do it quite well. And as long as I know that I could sin, I also know that I have the ability, lavo, to come back in, to get back up, and to construct something beautiful. Wishing everyone a good and Erev Shabbos, a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh for this last Shabbos of the year. May we take these words of Moshe Rabbeinu, fill our hearts and our souls with them, allow them to illuminate our Shabbos and Amir Hashem, this last week of Tavshin Pei, and in doing so, may we begin the journey to a beautiful 5781, a Tavshin Pei Aleph, filled with bracha, filled with mazel, filled with growth, filled with a beautiful journey, ultimately again to our promised land. Moshe Rabbeinu was never able to enter into his promised land, but Amir Tashem, may we be zocha to enter into our personal and our national promised land, halavai in these remaining days of this year, but if not this year, Amir Tashem in the coming year, Haba'alina Litova. Wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos.